time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And are we ever grateful that we have such a large listening audience? It's largely because many of you have shared this virally with so many. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format. And you can listen to this anytime, anywhere. And I think that's what's appealing to so many people. Guess what? It's just so refreshing and heartwarming to see that the effort that we put into this is being enjoyed, and more than just enjoyed, but it's really helping a lot of people stay up on what's going on. So thank you, our listeners. We appreciate you sharing this with so many. And again, we're always open to ideas how we could do this even better. But and also, hot topics. A lot of ideas are coming in on the hot topic segments. But today, we're really excited. We'd already announced we're going to be having the CMB Society on. Rob Brooksbit, president of the MBA, along with Madeline Johnson and Amber Lewis. We recorded it this past week. You're not going to want to miss this podcast. There's a lot of information, especially for those that are considering getting into the CMB program. And you're going to hear some things I don't often admit and talk about. But yeah, dyslexia is a real issue for a lot of us that have gone through college and deal with it. Fought it for all our years, but I'm stepping up and I'm going, you know what? Step past those fears. I recognize the importance of this designation. So as I announce on this podcast, and you'll hear me talking about, I'll be signing up for the CMB program. Dear God, I hope I make it all the way through. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for being here with us this week. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Indicom. Welcome, Indicom, to our list of sponsors, as well as Ainsworth, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Celebrity Home Loans, Velma, and Vidyard, VendorServe, and AI Assist. Check them all out in our website, on Lickin' on Lending website, and go under sponsors, and you'll see when we have sponsors on, folks, it's not just to get advertising dollars. We really believe each one of these has something to share, and I could go through on and on about each one of these. Anyway, Les Parker's here with today's TM Spotlight and this week's Macro View of the Markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Ainsworth Advisors.
Ready or not, here bonds come, where they're at, the flight is gone, in the crowd, the noise is loud, what trend will find them? So why would news of a dramatic increase in coronavirus cases cause interest rates to barely move? Because the market priced China's lack of forthrightness. Which way will the recent range of interest rates break? It depends on the degree of economic trouble from the coronavirus. With massive disruption, rates plummet. With no additional disruption, rates soar. The result comes by the end of February, ready or not. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
How he ties the topic of the day and this week and his report to some relative music has just always amazed me. Good job, Les. And, of course, Gary Kentrebone, who puts that all together. So glad to have them part of the podcast. If you want to check out the TM Spotlight, it's free. You can subscribe to Les' daily newsletter. It's free at tmspotlight.com. Check it out. Joe Farr, good to have you with us, dialed in. Good to have you with us, Joe.
Well, good to be here. Dave, last week was another good week for stocks, but unfortunately, MBS prices went down a little bit. For the week, Dow rose 300 points, so another good week. MBS prices fell 25 basis points. Some of the rise in the stock market was related to talk from China about adding more stimulus to their economy. This is move in reaction to the negative effect on the economy of the coronavirus. And the talk of more stimulus was liked by investors around the world, including U.S. stock investors. The economic data that came out last week was generally pretty close to expectations. Job openings from the JOLTS report was one exception. Job openings fell to 4.6 million in December when it was expected to hold steady at 6.8 million. The job openings number was 6.4 million. So this is the lowest level it's been in a few years, so slight drop in the job openings number. Important economic data came out during the week, and it included inflation, core CPI inflation, retail sales, and industrial production, and all of them matched expectations, so they weren't market movers. Consumer sentiment did rise in February a little more than expected, so it was good to see that. Fed Chairman Powell provided testimony to Congress over Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. This was his semiannual testimony about the economy, and it really provided no new information, so it too had little effect on the markets. Looking at the week ahead, Dave, we've got not a lot on the calendar. What is on the calendar, though, is mostly housing related, so our listeners will be interested. Home builder confidence comes out on Tuesday. Housing starts in February will be announced on Wednesday. And then closings on sales of previously owned homes in January will be announced on Friday. As has been the case each of the last several weeks, the fluctuations in the status of the coronavirus will again likely impact the market. So you need to be paying attention. That's it for me, Dave. Thanks so much.
I am excited to talk about a topic that for me is revealing some ghosts. We're talking about the Certified Mortgage Banker Program, the CMB program. And I'll explain what I mean by some ghosts in my closet that's kept me from getting into it. And I really want to press into it today because this designation is significant. It's such an important part of helping develop professionalism within the mortgage banking industry, and I can't think of three better guests that could help me talk about this here on the program today. So joining us, we want to honor our leader of the Mortgage Bankers Association, Bob Brooksmith, who is the president of the Mortgage Bankers Association. We've had Bob as a guest on our podcast back in August 15th, 2018. It's way too long. We got to get him back on a number of other topics. We had him on when he first became president of the MBA. I really like the leadership he's brought. I enjoyed what David Stevens done, but I'm really excited what Bob has done. And it's in the topic of where we're going to be talking about, developing up the next generation of mortgage bankers. Also joining on the podcast today is Madeline Johnson. She is an executive financial consultant at a Milwaukee office of Milliman. She is currently the chairwoman of the CMB Society. So, Madeline, we're so excited to have you here, as well as Amber Lawrence. She is the Associate Director of Career Development Programs for the Mortgage Bankers Association. She manages and oversees the MBA certification and training programs. And we're so excited to have you three here talking about the CMB Society and the values and the benefits of that, and why every listener listening to this podcast should consider becoming a part of the CMB Society. We're going to talk about that. So welcome to the podcast, everybody. Let's get right into it. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, David. We appreciate everything you do for our industry and appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Certified Mortgage Banker, which is a designation that is the highest one in the real estate finance field. And it really sets people apart by bestowing this designation on people who really know all facets of the business. We think it's really important in a field as interconnected as mortgage lending is, that regardless of what your place is in it, whether you're on the origination side or the processing, underwriting, closing side or the post-closing and shipping and secondary marketing and servicing and loss mitigation, the whole panoply of what encompasses mortgage banking, we think it's really important to have people who know about all of those fields, and bestowing this designation upon people who take the time and energy to make that commitment to the industry is really what it's all about.
That's so true. And a lot of people think, well, this is just for, you know, certain levels within the industry. But I think you point out well that it is for everyone, and no matter where you are at in the industry, if you're planning to be a mortgage professional, this is a designation that's a must-have. Amber, I want to get over to you. You're the Associate Director of Education Operations there at the MBA. I'd like to get your comments, and we'll get over to Madeline.
Thank you so much David, I really appreciate you having us on today. The CMB designation signifies to the real estate community that you've achieved a superior knowledge, if you will, and understanding and competency in the residential space. And it distinguishes you from the rest of your peers with, you know, your steadfast commitment to excellence and high ethical standards. So, you know, again, it's paramount, the ideal designation that you can achieve at the culmination of your career as well as at the midway point. This designation is for everyone.
Well, I can't wait to get into that. It is for everyone, and we're going to talk about that. But Madeline, I want to get over to you. You are the current chairwoman of the CMB Society, and I want a great question would be for you is, why did you become a CMB? And if you could tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, I would love to. I'm so excited to be on this call. Thank you so much for hosting us today. I think becoming a CMB is a tremendous honor. And back when I was in the School of Mortgage Banking, I was told about the CMB. And being someone that's very inquisitive, I was always very curious about a lot of things in our industry. I was new to the industry at the time when I heard about the CMB designation. And I thought, I want to learn more about this. I've always valued education and learning new things. And I think this designation is perfect for people that constantly want to learn more and do more and then give back to the industry. So being a CMB, it's a big part of knowledge base that you can use to make the industry better, be up on the issues, assist with the MBA committees and the call to action, going out on the Hill. You are considered to be an expert in the industry with this designation, and I have on many occasions utilized in RFP responses that I am in fact a CMB, and people ask about it and they are curious and they wonder, what can you do with that designation? Why did you decide to spend months of your life preparing for it at least? And I'll tell you a little bit about my journey. And it really started out just being a homegrown mortgage banker. I came right out of graduate school without a job and ended up at a non-bank mortgage banking firm not too far down the road from where Bob Brookschmidt was working via Saul Chevy Chase. And worked there for quite a while. Really got pulled into the business, really on-the-job training in mortgage banking, but absolutely loved it, was in secondary marketing. And, of course, I got that great initiation into what's called a market crash in the late 80s. So a lot of experience in the industry. Again, wanted to learn more, wanted to learn why certain things were the way they were. And my supervisor at the time was a big fan of the School of Mortgage Banking, and I am as well. And I ended up completing all three courses within 3 years. But then I put it on hold for quite a while. You know, life happens. You change jobs. You have a few babies. You get a little bit mired into daily time commitments, and you have to allocate appropriately. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the concerns that people have about getting the designation.
Yes, we'll get into that. I want to give a shout out to Madeline, to your supervisor, your boss at the time. I love people that are promoting this, and you didn't mention that person by name. If we could give him a shout out on this podcast, who was that person?
His name was John Bray, and I think, Bob, you knew John, didn't you?
Sure.
I'll have to give him a call and let him know he's now a rock star.
Yeah, we're giving him a shout out. I think how many people have been encouraged to do this and get into the program by the Johns in the world, John Bray's in the world. So, John, congratulations on bringing Madeline through the program and encouraging her through it. So, John, thrilled for your influence and many other of you out there that have done the same. Let's talk a little bit about what this can do for your career. Bob, probably no one better to talk about this than you now, the president of the MBA. Talk about this designation and as it relates to your career and your journey in this industry.
I got my CMB in 2005. At that point, I was 20 years into the mission, having started pretty much literally in the mailroom. And I was taking on increased responsibilities as a member of MBA in MBA leadership. And I was on the Residential Board of Governors, and I was about to become the vice chair and then the chair of that group. So that was a real catalyst for me to say, look, I've been at this for 20 years. I can do put a little more into this and get this designation. And then, as Madeline said, people see your name and they see the CMB, and they immediately know that you know a lot about this business and you're somebody that they should pay some attention to. So that's how it came about for me, and it's really been a great help to my career.
Are there any stories that come to mind where you could say, in this particular place, in this particular event, that CMB made the difference in either landing or business relationship or something? Is there a story that comes to mind, Bob?
I think that it's just a general knowledge among people that I've run into, whether I was, as Madeline mentioned, putting a proposal out there that put myself out there as somebody who knew about the business, or whether it's just wearing the lapel pin. And as Amber will tell you, when I started at MBA in August of 2018, she gave me a few extras to make sure I had them around because she noticed I wasn't wearing it at the opening meeting at MBA. And it really is a conversation starter, and it's an instant recognition as you see others wearing the pin. And we're now up to over 769 active CMBs. I'm sure they'll tell you a little bit more about the society, but it really is that instant credibility when you see others who are doing something related to our business.
Amber, I just love your passion in calling out the new president for not wearing his lapel pin. I think that's so important. But there is something about that, Amber, and I want to talk about that, because when you see people that have that, there is almost like this immediate connection. Oh, I know what you went through to get that. And anytime we go the extra mile, go to extra effort to obtain something, a designation of this significance, it is something that does begin to form a bond. Talk about that and what you have witnessed as the Associate Director of Education Operations and Programming there at the MBA.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I had no problem letting Bob know that he was not wearing his pin at our meeting. In fact, I do that to everyone when I see them out at conferences. You know, I keep them in my purse or in my pocket like candy almost, and just handing them out. But I mean, I think it's the efforts and the hard work. A lot of people stretch themselves outside of their wheelhouse. You know, we have people who come through the program starting out as, you know, solely in the origination space or solely in the servicing space or secondary markets, if you will. But then they've taken on the additional challenge, you know, taking the education and taking some of our courses. And I think that's to be commended and celebrated. So I'm happy to hand out pins whenever necessary when I see people out.
How does someone that's listening to this podcast saying, okay, I'm going to go for it? What is the process, Madeline?
Well, we have a great website, the MBA website, that has the CMB designations on it. And the steps that you would follow to become a CMB is you would need to enroll and provide the documentation that would include your resume, a letter of recommendation, if you have chosen a CMB sponsor, and then a photo. And there's also a registration fee, different price for a member versus a non-member. So you would go on our website, you identify that link and fill out that documentation. And then you need to have, in order to test for the exam, 150 points. And we will help calculate that for you. And that would include professional experience, education, and industry participation. For example, on education, college degree, School of Mortgage Banking, any industry participation might include committees that you were on for the national and local MBA, professional experience, years in the business, and prepare and meet with your sponsor. You would need to do after you submit this documentation and become a candidate. We also have, and we'll let Amber speak about this, a CMB prep course. So it's an online prep course. It's a learning tool that we use. A lot of people really appreciate that additional help in the studying process. And encouraging people to work together in study groups. So you meet with your sponsor, you enroll in a prep course, and then once you have enough points, the sponsor has met with you, the sponsor agrees that you are ready and prepared to move forward, you would take a written exam. And then once you pass that written exam, you would take an oral exam, and once passed, you would graduate as the next CMB in the year 2020, because I hope you do apply this year, and you will be recognized at the annual conference this year in Chicago, and you will get your pin and your plaque.
One of the things that I find so special about the CMB group is the society part, and you're the head of that society. Talk a little bit about that network, that the relationships that form. What I hear about the CMBs that have gone through the program is they form relationships that will last, no doubt, throughout their entire career at the industry. Has this been true for you, Madeline?
Oh, absolutely. I remember going through the process of getting my CMB, meeting new CMBs. At every event that we have at the MBA, we have some type of, or we strive to at every event, some type of networking event. There was a happy hour at the IMB recently for CMBs. And along the way, we just love to gather and do fun things together. We have a committee under the society, literally called the Fun Committee. The Fun Committee this year is led by Debbie Moore from CMC.
Oh, good.
And Debbie is in the charge to make sure that we have a happy hour or some event at every MBA conference this year. And our capstone event that I'm always very, very excited about is what we call the Amazing Race. And what it is a scavenger hunt with an app that we have in the city of the national conference. So that this past year in October, it was a blast. It was in Austin. We had so much fun. And this year coming up, it's going to be in Chicago, and we will have the CMB Amazing Race for CMBs only. It's an incredible opportunity to literally spend the day with new friends that are CMBs and really enjoy company and solve problems and take pictures and have the reception afterwards. So this society not only has fun events for our CMBs, it also is a governing body for the written exam, the oral exam, for any processes or procedures that need to be changed. All of us are volunteers. It's our volunteer non-paid side gig, but we do love it. And so I'm the chair this year. Yeah. Seth Sprague is the vice chair, and Sushila Dillon is the secretary for this year.
I've spoken on stage with Seth, and I just love the guy. He is so entertaining. We both spoke at the IMB conference, and so I can only imagine if this group is to have that kind of fun. I can only imagine all of you running around Austin with the scooters that we have here in Austin. I'm in Austin, and how much fun that was. It would have been. That's just outstanding. Bob, talk a little bit about those relationships you formed while you were going through the CMB, because I think this is such an important part of this. The designation, being a professional, the discipline you have to do to make sure we're learning what we need to learn to have the designation is one thing, but there's so much to this relation. This is a relationship-driven business. Bob, speak to that, and specifically the relationships you form, not as the president, not a part of the Board of Governors, but in the CMB society.
One of the things that I recall 15 years ago when I was studying for the designation is that while I had a secondary marketing job, it had been very early in my career, and that was one of the sections that I needed to bone up on. And it was really helpful to me to work with Michael Drain, who ran secondary marketing for us at the bank at the time,
and now,
of course, is a very senior official over at Ginnie Mae, and not just the day-to-day questions that one might ask of a secondary head, but really sitting down and digging into this stuff, preparing for the exam. And you mentioned the IMB conference. Michael was there, and we spent some good time together there, and I see him in Washington. So that goes all the way back 15 years. And the other thing I'll mention is an important part of being a CMB is to encourage others to do it and to sponsor others. So, for instance, I was a proud sponsor for Vicki Perry, who ran servicing for us at Chevy Chase Bank when she went through and got her CMB. So it's a really great way to pay it forward and think about the leaders for this business for the future.
It's really good. It was speaking of Michael Drain, I just love this guy. I was meeting with Greg Keith, and then Michael Drain pulled up the table. We were sitting there talking. I'm shouting out, giving a shout out to all the conferences. You need to be at these folks. They're taking a slight divergence off the topic of CMBs. Be at these conferences. You meet so many people. Well, Michael and I, Greg, were talking. We Brian pulls up to the table, and we're listening to them give each other a bad time about the FHA and Jenny and how they kick things back and forth towards each other. But getting on the program again, Amber, I want to talk a little bit specifically about this process of getting into the program and how you guys have been so diligent about setting it up within the MBA. Could you speak to that, please?
Absolutely. The enrollment process is actually pretty simple. I walk everyone through the process step by step. I take all of the guesswork out. All that's needed is simply a resume or some documentation of work experience. And we maintain meticulous records on our end with conference attendance and educational courses that may have been taken. There's a small enrollment fee that's to be paid, and it's based on whether or not you belong to a member or a non-member company. And then ultimately, there's a formalized application process that's very short in nature. One identifies who their sponsor will be, and Bob mentioned that earlier. You have to align yourself with someone who is a current CMB who will serve in a mentorship role to guide you through the process. And so once you're enrolled in the program, you achieve what's called the points that are relative to getting through in addition to the exam process. And also Madeline alluded to a prep course that we offer, and it's a 6-week program designed to help prepare candidates for the written and oral exams.
Well, that's good, and I encourage people to go to the website. It's on the MBA. I'm assuming that they can get to the CMB program by going to the MBA website directly, Amber, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's actually pretty simple, too. It's mba.org/CMB.
Well, let's get to what has held me back and held out others, and this is that ghost of the closet I hesitate to talk about, but I think that's what we need to do. Is I have been approached for as long as the program has existed. Dave, why don't you get in and become a CMB? Why don't you go do this? And I was really quite honestly ashamed to, you know, I love Brene Brown and her TED Talk on shame. And I got to tell you that I did not realize going through college I had dyslexia. We didn't discover that until we were educating our youngest daughter, and we knew she was very intelligent. And we're going like, what's going on there? There seems to be some difficulties in picking up some things, especially when it comes to reading. And we hired a consultant that came into our family and looked at us, and she met me and she looked at me and she goes, I can almost guarantee you that you have dyslexia. And I had, my wife's a teacher, so I had some knowledge of it, but I hadn't really put it together, started studying it. But that is like a ghost in the closet. I went to college, went through college successfully, but I hated studying. I did not enjoy reading. It was difficult. And going to taking tests was one of those fears I had. And so I'm going, all right, you guys have been asking. I've already been in the industry for decades. I've now been in the industry for 46 years. I'm 70 this year. And I'm going, is there any benefit for an old codger like me that's been in it since 1973, owned 3 mortgage banking companies, a software company that went public, and owned all these consulting firms? It's like I don't want to go out there and fail after having all these years. So this call, I'm going to sign up, and I'm going to get into it. But when I've said this with others, people come up to me and say, Dave, you're not a CMB. Why? I go, and I lay out the story. And it's just more recently I've had the guts to share that. And they go, but you need to. You should. So, folks, hold me accountable. Say it on the program on my own podcast. I'm signing up. I'm going to go through the program. So when I share that story, though, Amber, so many people say, Dave, that's exactly why I haven't gone through it. So I'm challenging anyone who shares that, come on, step up, do what I'm about to do, step over and over the line, and let's get into it. But Amber, this has got to be shared by others. I cannot be the only one who has had this, where we fear the test and failing in front of our peers. It is just like one of the most challenging things to get over. So talk about that, please.
Sure. And first, I'll just commend you for kind of having the courage to step out there and say, this is what's holding you back. You know, that's a shared experience, I think, across everyone who gets into the CMB program, is that it's the fear factor, the fear of the unknown, and the fear of, if I tell people
fear
I'm going to do this,
what's
going to happen? What is that going to mean for me? Does it mean that I fail, or does it mean that, you know, it's just a little bump in the road? And honestly, I will say that there's so many CMBs who are looking to see you win. From the moment that you sign up, you have a team full of people who are just going to be cheering you on, in addition to your sponsor, in addition to your colleagues, in addition to your family. You know, I think it means so much to people. And I think that that's, you know, there's so much at stake for some. You know, the fear factor is what we help kind of get you past, and we help prepare you as best as we possibly can. I alluded to a prep course that we offer that helps you take the test. You know, some other reasons that people I've heard that they've indicated that, you know, they just don't understand. They don't know if they'll qualify. They don't know if there's anybody to help them. They don't know a current CMB personally. You know, all those things we can help you overcome.
I think it's so powerful that you do what you can to enable this, because it is so important. I've recognized it. And part of me is I'm listening to you talk and going, I can't believe I just signed up. That was one of those impulsive moments where I just did it. Madeline,
we're gonna
talk about this. Yes, good. Do it. Madeline, talk about it, because you also had some trepidation at times going through this, if I'm correct.
Yes. I got my CMB in 1998, and I am not that old, so I got it as a baby, as a young child, and that was really before the internet, right? So back then, we just had binders worth of study materials, and I was a consultant, and in between jobs and on airplanes and in airports and wherever I was, I would bring my binders and I would study. But I really, really was very concerned about taking the exam. And the reason was, as a consultant, say you fail your CMB exam, who is going to hire you? So I was
I'm a consultant. I have that same on the back of my mind.
I was really hung up on that. And what changed that is actually I was at a conference, and the MBA person at the time that was in charge of the designation, she saw me at one of the receptions, and she said, why aren't you registered in the CMB? And I said, oh, I'm just so worried about that. And for those reasons, she said, are you kidding me? Of course you could do it. So just that little bit of, you know, advice, a little bit of a push from someone that was at the MBA, I felt, okay, I'm going to go for this. And that whole experience that we're talking about is the fear factor. It's not only about, am I going to fail? It's also, do I have the time for this? It's a big time commitment, and I want to do it right. I want to do it on the first time and not have it drag out over a period of time.
Yes.
So as Amber said, we have these tools that can really help the CMB candidate. The one tool that Amber talked about in detail, the online prep course, the outline that the MBA will provide to CMB candidates for them to be able to get organized with their study materials, really take a look at where is the spot in the CMB curriculum that I have the most difficulty with, or I could use a little bit of help or better understanding, and where can I align with either a former CMB or people in the industry or someone even in my company to get more educated on that topic. And that outline puts you in that direction. So you assemble the outline. And then beyond the prep course and the outline, we highly encourage these study groups. And these have been forming organically. And Amber can tell you stories about how many different study groups have evolved over the years.
That's so neat.
About pulling together, using all of your collective resources as industry. You might have a loan officer, a branch manager, a secondary person, a servicing person, compliance, and they're all interested in studying together and forming these what I call study buddy groups. And out of that, your lifelong relationships are built. You have a shared objective and a goal, and that also reduces the fear factor.
Well, I'm looking forward to the journey, and I think it's so important. I think there's also another group out there, and like I'm on the other end, and some would say I'm at the tail end at 70 years old. Are you going to retire, Lincoln? And I go, no, not anytime soon. I could tell you many good stories that inspire me to keep on going for a long time. It's because I love this industry. I have such a passion for this industry. Chris George said it so well at the IMB. He says, what other industry could have such an impact on people's lives as this industry? It changes lives, and I believe in it. Whatever I have to do to get through that, I have to be more effective in doing so. And Bob, I want to kind of wrap this up by going to you. For those of us, I want to talk about the ones that are new to the industry coming in, and they might be intimidated because they go, I don't have 46 years of industry knowledge. I don't have all experience of owning businesses. It's very intimidating.
Well, I would say that I have yet to meet a mortgage professional who is not eager to share his or her experiences and learning with the next generation of mortgage lenders and leaders. And there's really a feeling of common mission and shared passion in this industry. And I think you've focused on the fear factor. There may be the fear of asking somebody who knows more about a topic to spend some time and help you. But I'm here to tell you that I don't think you'll ever be told no to that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention about the CMBs is we spend a lot of time working on and thinking about the diversity of the workforce in the mortgage industry. And I'm really happy to say that of the 44 CMBs who got their certificates in Austin this past October, fully a third of the class are women, and 24% of the class comes from a diverse ethnic background. So this is a real way of both as an industry and as individuals in the industry of putting our money where our mouth is, sharing our expertise, and really having our workforce, and especially the CMBs who really demonstrate the pinnacle of our workforce, starting to look a lot more like our customers. So I'm really encouraged by that.
That is excellent. And I think for those that have quietly whispered to me, Dave, I share that fear. I'm successful in the industry. What will I look like in the eyes of those that I know out there? And to that group, Bob, what would you say?
This is a supportive community that is here to help anyone who goes on this journey succeed and to clear the hurdles and to pass the exams and to wear that coveted lapel pin. And I think that I don't know of a single person who has put in the work on this who wouldn't agree with me about that. So I really encourage people to get involved.
Well, I'm signing up. Hopefully you'll see me on the stage at the annual conference. Got a steep hill to climb, but I'm going to get started. Amber, I understand there's an executive track to the CMB program. Could you talk about that?
Absolutely. The executive track is designed for those who have extensive industry experience that kind of serve in the executive space within their organizations and also have 10 years or more of executive level experience. You essentially get to bypass having to meet all of the educational requirements and substitute your work experience in lieu of kind of not having maybe all of the education points necessary. And that way, basically upon enrollment in the program, we get you right into the next prep course. And then within those 6 weeks and after, we'll have you taking the exam within about 30 days after that. So instead of maybe it taking several years for some people, it could only take you a matter of months.
Very good. Excellent. Madeline, how many executives have gone through taking that path?
Well, there are less executive paths than the traditional path. However, I highly recommend it for you, Dave. I think it would be perfect for you. And any other CMB that's really on the fence, they've put a lot of years in this business. They love it. And they just want to have the capstone of their career be that they are now a CMB. We highly recommend it.
I want to say a special thank you. Joining us on the podcast today has been Bob Brooksmith, president of the Mortgage Bankers Association. So pleased with your leadership and what you're doing for our industry, as well as Madeline Johnson, executive financial consultant at the Milwaukee office of Milliman. So good to have you here, Madeline. And Amber, I just love what you're doing there at the MBA. Thank you so much. One of the takeaways is you jumping Bob out, your new boss, the new president, about not wearing a CMB pin. That tells you how passionate you are about it, taking that kind of risk. So kudos to all of you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. And folks, I encourage you to get over to the MBA website. Again, mba.org/CMB. You can do it. If I can, I'm overcoming it. You can as well. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here today.
Thank you, David.
Folks, thank you so much for being here with us this week. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Indicom. Welcome, Indicom, to our list of sponsors, as well as Ainsworth, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Celebrity Home Loans, Velma, and Vidyard, VendorSurf, and AI Assist. check them all out in our website, on the Lincoln Lending website, and go under sponsors, and you'll see one. When we have sponsors on, folks, it's not just to get advertising dollars. We really believe each one of these has something to share, and I could go through on and on about each one of these. We don't have time. We're out of time. We hope you'll have a great week, and look forward to having you back here next week, everybody.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.